Good morning, brothers and sisters. I was asked to give this talk on Paul's second mission journey. On doing my research, I came up with a summary by Wayne Blank, which I would like to share with you along with my own thoughts. It starts off, "Sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, 'Let us go back and visit the brothers in all the towns that we preach the word of the Lord and see how they are doing.' The second journey began on rather an unfortunate circumstance. Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them, and Paul did not think it was wise to take him because he deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the word. They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and left. What happened between Paul and Barnabas? What does this mean for us with our brothers and sisters? Is it okay spending time with a brother or sister if we feel it will not help us grow as a brother or sister in Christ? Paul strongly believed Mark would hinder his mission, whereas Barnabas did not. This is a personal question that you should not take lightly. We have to be careful not to push someone away from the truth, or a brother, sister, or anyone that is not completely in line with our beliefs, while protecting our own knowledge and beliefs. Keeping our beliefs pure is our main goal. Although Paul and Barnabas never again traveled together, there was no lasting animosity between them. Paul later spoke highly of Barnabas. And Paul also made up with Mark, who was later with him in Paul's imprisonment in Rome. Paul's secondary mission began about 49 A.D. Unlike his first mission, it was no 10-day excursion. He would not return for about 3 years, 52 A.D. When I read this, I said, wow, 3 years. Here I am on my own journey writing this talk, thinking about how rough it is riding in a house with AC and having plenty to eat and drink. This is Paul's second journey. It will take him over 2,800 miles and is going to last for 3 years. With no AC, no cars, not even good roads to walk on, not any of the comforts we have today. I can't imagine walking between 10 and 15 miles per day. It is amazing to me to think about the hardship, even when they were good, when the goings were good, like having plenty to eat and drink. Traveling had to be exhausting. But the true hardships, when you did get somewhere, you were rejected. The previous journey began by sailing to Cyprus. By the time he set out overland through Syria and Sicilia to revisit the ecclesia he had early established in Asia, including those of Derbe and Lystra, where Timothy joined him. From there they continued northward, going through Phrygia and Galatia. Paul remained in Galatia for some time due to an unexpected illness. From Galatia, Paul then intended to travel northward through Bithynia, a region on the shore of the Black Sea. However, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. Troas was on the shore of the Aegean Sea. Jesus Christ himself directed Paul westward from Asia, where Paul had intended to remain toward Greece. Paul was taking the gospel across to Europe. At Troas, during the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us. Paul realized the vision was a message from the Lord, so the very next day he sailed across to Dardanelles, also called Hellespont, which separated him from Europe. In Macedonia, ecclesia were established through Philippia, Thessalonica, and Berea. This is where we get our ecclesia name. And we read in Acts 17:10 through 15. And the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into their synagogues of the Jews. These were more noble than those of Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily, whether things were so. Therefore many of them believed, also of honorable women which were Greeks, and of men not a few. But when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached of Paul at Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people. And immediately the brethren sent Paul to go as it were it was to the sea. But Silas and Timothy abode there still. And they conducted Paul, brought him unto Athens, and receiving the commandments of Silas, Timotheus, for to come to him with all speed, they departed. Their journey was not without problems. Paul and Silas often opposed by those who refused to believe, and were once thrown in jail for casting a spirit out of a fortune teller. In Acts 16:16-40 we read, and it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, and brought her master much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us, and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, and show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. But Paul began grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out of her that same hour, and when her master saw that the hope of their gains were gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marking place unto the rulers, and brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither do they observe being Romans. And the multitude rose up together, and the magistrate rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them and cast them into prison, charging the jailers to keep them safely, who having received such a charge, trust them in the inner prisons and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so the foundation of the prisons were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's band was loosed. And the keeper of the prison awakened out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors were open, he drew his sword out, and would have killed himself, supposed that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for all we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of that night, washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all of his, straightway. When he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. And when it was day, the magistrates sent the servants, saying, "Let those men go." And the keeper of the prison told this, saying to Paul, "The magistrates have said, 'Let you go.' Now, therefore, depart and go." But Paul said unto them that they had been beaten openly, uncondemned, being Romans, and have cast us into prison, and now do they thrust us out privily? Nay, verily, but let them come themselves and fetch us out. And the servants told these words unto the magistrates, and they were feared when they heard that they were Romans. And they came and besought them and brought them out, and desired them to depart out of the city. And when they were out of prison, they entered the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and departed. Now, to escape the deadly threats made against them, the brothers immediately sent Paul to the coast of Silas, and to the coast, but Silas and Timothy stayed in Berea. The men who accompanied Paul brought him to Athens and left for instructions for Silas and Timothy to join them as soon as possible. It was while waiting for them, Paul made his now famous visit to Athens, where we read in Acts 17:16-34. Now, while Paul was waiting in Athens, his spirit was stirred in him, and he saw the city of holy given to idolatry. Therefore disputed he in the synagogues with the Jews, and with the devout persons, and in the market daily with them that met with him. The certain philosophers of the Epicureans and the Stoics encountered him, and some said, "What will this babbler say?" Or some, "He seemeth to be the setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection." And they took him and brought him unto Areopagus, saying, "May we know this new doctrine, whereas thou speak is, for thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would now therefore want these things mean, for all the Athenians and strangers were spent the time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new things." Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "You men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God,' whom therefore you ignorantly worship him, declare I unto you. God that had made the world, all things therein, seeing that this is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. He hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell all the face of the earth, and hath determined that the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitations, that they should seek the Lord, if happy they might feel after him and find him, through he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have been, as a certain also of your own poets have said, for all things, for we are all his offsprings. For as much then as we are offsprings of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art or man's device, at the time of the ignorance of God's winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the righteous by that man whom he hath ordained. Whereas he hath given assurance unto all men, and he hath raised himself from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, we will hear thee again on this matter. So Paul departed from among them. Howbeit a certain men clave unto him and believed, and among the which was Dionysus and Areopagite, and a woman named Damaris, and others with them. From Athens, Paul crossed over to Corinth, the seat of the Roman government of Achaia. He remained there for a year and a half, spreading the word of the Jews and Greeks with much success. Also Corinth, he wrote his two epistles to the church of Thessalonica, his earliest apostolic letters, today known as the First and Second Thessalonians. After numerous and spiritual profitable visits through the region, Paul then began making his homeward journey because he wanted to observe Pentecost in Jerusalem. He was accompanied by Aquila and Priscilla as far as Ephesus. From there he made his way by sea through Rhodes and Cyprus to Caesarea. From there he went to Jerusalem. In closing, I'd like to read 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. It was his Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even it is with you. And what we may deliver from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And we have confidence that in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we have commanded you. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patience waiting for Christ. Now we command you, brethren, in the same name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from Now we command you, brethren, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after tradition which we received of us. For yourselves know that ye ought to follow us, for we have behaved not ourselves disorderly among you, neither did we eat any man's bread or not, for not, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. For even when we were with you, this we command you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which among you, for we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such, we command you, exhort by your Lord Jesus Christ, that With quietness they work and eat their own bread. But ye brethren, be not weary in well-doing. And if any man obey not our word by the epistle, note that man, and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all. The salutation of Paul with mine own hand, which is the token of every epistle, so I write. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.